Flag Day, presented by our friends at Skiles Electric. After the show today, you can join Adam, who just joined us. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
And Melissa for Ag Day, a full day. Good show. You guys have a lot planned today.
We always jam-pack it full, right?
Well, if you're going to do it, right, you might as well
go big
or go home. So
absolutely.
We're going to go big. So today, some of the things you can look forward to are Michael Langemeyer. Did I say his name right?
Yep, Dr. Okay. Michael Langemeyer.
Okay, he's a Purdue agriculture economist. And then from the Farmers Bank, Drew Kripe and Jared Stillwell will join us from 10 until 10:25. Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District from 10:30 to 10:55. Then we will go ahead with AgriTalk and the Farm at Noon to give these folks a break and to maybe have a little lunch and a potty break and so forth. And then just after the Farm at Noon, Eric Pfeiffer, Who's Your Ag Today? Then we'll be talking about climate and things with the weather, 12:35 to 1:30 with Austin Pearson, and Amy Webster from Purdue Extension will join us for the final segment today from 1:35 to 2 o'clock. And again, we want to thank Skiles Electric, Wampler Services Incorporated, the Farmers Bank, the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties, Rossville Consolidated School District, Drago, Indiana, and First Farmers Bank and Trust for helping us bring you Ag Day today. Always a fun day, I think.
It's exciting.
I know it's a lot of work for you guys, but I do enjoy it. So. Yeah.
They say you can't go home again, but here we are. We're going to try.
There you go.
It's nice to be back in the studio.
I was going to say, it's been a minute.
It's been
quite
a minute.
Like, I can touch you. You're actually here.
I know.
We do a lot of talking on the phone, but we can actually get to touch him today and talk to him. So, anyway. So, ready?
I'm ready. Okay. What are we doing?
I don't know. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I want to know what you're doing. I mean, I know what we're doing
later.
You know
what Val told me when we were sitting here? She goes, I don't even know what his official title is.
Not anymore.
What is your official title? I'm going to write
because
it down.
Somebody doesn't put it on his email like everybody else.
Well, it's because there's not enough room.
Okay. Hold on. I'm ready.
I will admit it is big because I did go on Purdue University and look.
I'll give you what it is and then I'll tell you what it means.
Okay, I like
that. How's
that?
Okay. So the Ag and Natural Resources Digital Ag Curriculum Lead. And that is Greek for I do all the things nobody else wants to do.
Ag and natural resources digital ag curriculum lead.
Yes.
That is a mouthful.
It's a lot.
No wonder you don't just go around saying, hi, I'm Adam Shanks.
Blah, 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 blah. That is a large umbrella that has, like I said, lots of things underneath of it.
So, in a typical day, what is your main job with?
You don't even have a typical day.
I was going to say,
it kind of changes all the time.
Yeah. So,
are you on like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday schedule, or what is your?
So, the only really right now the consistent thing is I teach an agronomy course on campus on Tuesday afternoons. That is consistent in the spring semester. Otherwise, it depends on which way I have to go for programs or meetings. We're trying to, grant season is upon us right now, so trying to write and finalize and submit grants, and we're promoting the curriculum training for summer and trying to get ready. Oh boy, all of the high school or area school ag days are coming on, so I start that tomorrow, where we get to go out to the fairgrounds with little kitties and do drone demonstrations all day. So it just depends on which way the wind's blowing the day is where I end up. I was in Syracuse, Indiana yesterday for a soil health program all day. Monday, I was on campus teaching grad students how to collect data and analyze data. So, it just depends. Every little
talk
thing
about is a guy that has a different job every
it's
day.
It's just, and it's fun, right? There's no typical day. The calendar looks different every day. What day of the week is it?
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. So here we are on Wednesday. And it's what month?
March.
March. I get that.
Is it 26? Well, yeah. So, and here we're doing a radio program all day. So,
Well, like last year, you were in Colorado at a conference?
I was in Tempe, Arizona.
Okay, Arizona.
After yesterday and Monday and today, it sounds lovely again.
It's 100 degrees there, isn't it, today or yesterday?
It was beautiful. The grass was green and the flowers were blooming. And it was beautiful to be there in March.
But hard to get you to talk about yourself. I'm sorry, but it really is. But this drone thing, I think, is just so cool. And for somebody that maybe doesn't know what drones can do for agriculture, talk about that a little bit. You really have a specialty that, I mean, how many people are there of you in the United States even?
Well, and you've got how many drones, and he now has a trailer that he takes around.
Oh, I got a van. We drive a van.
Oh, you got a van now?
Yeah, we've got a van that we drive around that has all the, well, not all of the drones, but quite a few drones in it. So that's what we'll be traveling to the Ag Days, and it's what we do out at camp, take out to Camp Cullum, work with Russ on and that kind of thing. But the drone thing has really exploded. They originally, you know, that technology was mainly used for imagery capture, and so it's made a revolutionary adjustment to the scouting industry for agriculture, to be able to go out and fly over an 80-acre field and pinpoint where things don't look right. Versus before that, someone would have to manually or physically walk that field. And I don't know if you've been in cornfields in June and July when it's 90% humidity and 100 degrees. It's a challenge. And so even then you might end up missing something, where the UAVs can help us pinpoint and be more strategic in where we go scout and look for things. And then even far beyond that now, these agriculture application drones are really coming on the scene. So prior to, we'll say 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, we had less than 100 people certified to apply, we'll say pesticides from the air. So those are your airplane and helicopter type pilots that are flying on, we'll say, fungicide or spreading cover crop seed or what have you. We were less than 100 2 years ago. I talked to our licensing agent at the state chemist's office the other day. I bumped into him in the hallway, and we're up over 300 now.
Wow.
So that has just been consistent growth in these ag drones, and because you have to have that aerial application license to apply with those. And so I'm glad people are doing it correctly. We don't want that attitude of it's my ground, I can do what I want. No, we have to have we need to follow the rules and get our certifications. So I'm glad that's happening, but it is exploding, and we're getting, the drones are getting bigger and bigger. When I started, the biggest drone to spray was about 2.5 gallon. Now we're up to 46 gallons. So it's called the Black Betty. And
bam blam,
yeah, right.
I gotta hear it in my head.
They have to,
and it's huge.
Yeah, they have to spray. So normally we spray about an aerial application rate of products is around 2 gallon per acre. With a ground rig, we're looking at 15 to 20, just to kind of give you an idea of the difference of concentration and volume. But that's a side note. This one is so big that they can't spray it less than about 3 gallons per acre, because it runs out of battery before the tank gets empty.
So, like, give me size wise.
If it was unfolded, it might fit in this room.
Yeah.
Okay.
So might.
That's almost a small plane.
It's huge, yes. And they're only getting bigger.
Yeah.
There's a lot of prototypes. There's a company out west that works with prototypes, you know, with fully unmanned aerial type applicators, 75-foot wingspan, those kind of things.
Wow.
But it's unmanned prototypes that they're testing.
It's crazy. Oh, I've got a friend, you probably know her too, but we've got a friend up north that actually does this. That's what she does.
The drones and sprays.
Yeah, she's contracted. She was down here. She was down here last spring. I went and met her for lunch and sat and watched her spray. So yeah,
it's the reason that it is growing is because, well, there's twofolds. The timing of those applications is critical. Mm. If we see the disease and we have to wait a day or two before the co-op opens, before we can schedule something, and they're another week before they can get an airplane or helicopter there to spray, it might be too late, mm-hmm. you know, to really have an effective treatment. So having these teams ready to deploy helps get the disease in control. Plus, it's been shown around with my friends and in people I work with that it's a nice extra way for, let's say, a farm isn't quite big enough to bring another family member in. This is another little business that can maybe help make that possible.
Yeah.
So they can spray their own things in a timely manner, and then also for a minor investment, you say minor, you know, $100,000. You know, they can.
There's people at their desk that's listening. Like, oh my gosh, $100,000. But when you put that in perspective for the farmer.
Yes. Yeah. So a ground rig, you know, a ground sprayer is $500,000.
Thank you.
Know, for a $100,000 investment, they can have a couple of drones, a trailer, everything they need to service those drones and be in business to start, you know, helping spray their neighbors and do that kind of thing. So not only spray, but then also they can turn around and do a really great job seeding cover crops. Again, that timing matters. So if we can't get somebody there in an airplane or helicopter soon enough, that application timing is important. The drones do a really nice job. And as we move into labeling changes and the way things are working with the EPA, you know, now hopefully we'll be able to use them even for our spring application of burn down, where we're burning down all the weeds before planting. Guess what? If I don't have to be out there in the mud, I can get my applications done a whole lot more timely because I'm flying over the ground. I'm not trying to drive across it. So that way, also with over the top treatments of soybeans and corn for weeds, there again, we can be timely. And not be out running over crop or in the mud if it's wet, and be more timely in our treatments. So it helps with the utilization of our pesticides and being more effective in the kill or what we're trying to target. But we just need to make sure that we're doing it legally. And, you know, as labels change and things are going to be more drone friendly going forward.
Adam Shanks is our guest on Party Line today with Purdue Extension, and also one of our hosts coming up for Ag Day.
Well, and we're also seeing like soil analysis and that kind of stuff with drones as well, being able to, for lack of a better term, soil test. And that helps with the pinpointing.
Yep. I was just talking to one of my colleagues that runs the Career Center up in Wabash, and they have a farm field next to that that they're going to be working through with the classes this coming year. And we were discussing the excellent benefits and all of the exposure that the students will have to different things. And that was one of the things they did, was they had the company come in that has the autonomous soil testing, and the students got to help experiment with that and watch that. It's used to be mounted to a skid steer. Now it's on the side of like a Kubota or Gator side-by-side machine. But yes, it has GPS location spots throughout the field that it drives to, samples the soil, collects it in the bag, puts a label on it, and moves on to the next spot. So then when it comes back, you've got a nice little tray of all of your bags of soil labeled, ready to send to the lab for the analysis.
I got to tell you, my mind has just went just a second ago here because, you know, again, people who maybe don't have an agriculture background, and I'll just give you, my grandson lives in Colorado, Denver, big city, you know, he doesn't see it. So when he comes out here, he's mesmerized by tractors. But once again, it just shows how technology is advancing so quickly in the field of agriculture.
Yeah, so, and again, that same teacher was telling me how the local deer dealer is this spring going to bring out their not driverless tractor and demonstrate how they till the field without the driver and the tractor. So it exists. That technology exists. Dr. Langemeyer that's going to be here, he put an article out a few weeks ago about where that fits adoption-wise with the current farm economy and current farmers, and we can ask him to speak to that. But the technology exists. Labor is a big problem. So, you know, being able to get farm help and labor, especially seasonal, when you can't guarantee somebody a full-time annual job. So that's where this technology can come in and help with the farmer get across the acres, get them prepared for seeding, or even you know, whatever practice they want to put that machine on.
What are you seeing 2, 5, maybe even 10 years from now in drone use? Because, you know, this was something that was really unheard of, 20 years ago?
It's come quickly, hasn't
it? It's come quickly.
Yes.
So, you know, we didn't think about this. I mean, what's next?
So, you know, if you've been down to Purdue campus lately, there's all these little food delivery robots running around everywhere. Those are drones. And, you know, when those first come out, it was kind of weird, odd.
Yeah, you just see it rolling down the street.
But, you know, those have become normal. Those are just a normal part of campus life now. You know, those running around, crossing the road, they stop and move and check, you know. They've just become a normal thing, a part of daily life. People use them to get their food all the time. And so is that going to be the next thing as laws change and, you know, Amazon and food delivery companies start to use drones for product and package delivery? Is that going to just become the normal thing? Are they going to just be like those little robot? Those are drones. They're not aerial, but they're drones. Just become the normal part of our day that they're zipping around doing their thing.
So what is the because I think of drones as in the air. I don't think of that on the ground as a drone. So what's kind of the technical definition of a drone?
Well, so the air ones are technically unmanned aerial vehicles.
Okay, that explains the UAV.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what differentiates them. But a drone can be, you know, we've seen the robot dogs running around, the delivery cars, the UAVs, those are all kind of under that drone umbrella. You could technically call the Waymo, the driverless cars, you know, that company, those could technically be drones. So, you know, it doesn't have to be something flying in the sky per se, or the unmanned autonomous sprayers that we have out in the fields currently, those are drones. So, you know, it doesn't have to be in the air, but those are specifically unmanned aerial vehicles.
Well, you do a phenomenal job, and the things you do are crazy. And Russ and Susan are listening this morning and wanted to compliment you on the Science Academy and at Camp Cullum and what you do out there with them. And I'm sure the kids have to think that's super cool. I think it's cool.
We have a lot of fun with the kids and try to teach them, you know, that science of flight is what we're after. So
I want to flip back to the curriculum side of it.
Yeah.
When you went to Purdue, part of that, I mean, when you left the county, and because you were the county agent before Amy, and when you left and went to that position, part of that was because of curriculum and needing to develop curriculum and that kind of stuff. So how involved have you been with developing the curriculum? And, you know, now we have pathways and we have that curriculum in those pathways because, you know, you and I've already talked. My grandson's a freshman and he just graduated or just got an A for his drone class, and he can go get his license if he wants.
Yeah, so that's we have this curriculum that we, for ours, is mainly through Purdue Extension. So our curriculum is an extension product that is available to high schools and career centers nationwide. We invite them into Tipton for a week in the summer where we, you know, the folks that adopt the curriculum are going to use it and go over some of the stickier portions of it, because it starts very basic. There's 8 different units, over 2,000 PowerPoint slides, 80 hands-on activities. So it starts very basic, but then some of that can get a little bit hairy with as we look at building out data analytic tools. If we look at, we teach them how to code different types of machines, like a weather station. We have them build a weather station and code it to kick on and off a pump based on if the soil reading is dry or wet. We teach them how to code some different IoT devices, Internet of Things devices. So we go through some of that, the GIS portion. So the Geographic Information Systems portion can get a little bit hairy. It's a little intimidating to open up a blank GIS screen on your computer and start building something that you can use to analyze data off of. So we go through some of those more difficult things, help them just get an overview of the project and see what questions they have, but then they can take that back to their school when they're ready to implement that digital ag or ag technology program, which is a very hot topic right now. A lot of schools are trying to navigate and figure that out to integrate into their programs.
It's crazy.
It's just the whole Jetsons thing is coming to mind. You know, we used to think that was so futuristic, but we're like in it. We're in it now.
I would love to have Rosie.
Your wife would love to have Rosie. Yes. I was going to say, you want Rosie. Your wife would love to have Rosie with four all
those
kids.
Rosie's a drone. And yeah. Rosie would be awesome.
Rosie yeah. would cook, be awesome.
Cook food, yeah. clean.
Okay, what's your least favorite house chore?
Well, you're out of the diaper phase now, so.
Probably cleaning the bathrooms.
Okay.
I have to clean my bathroom. So it's my mess, but it's still not fun.
It's not fun. No. I agree with you. We could all use a Rosie.
I was going to say, power to your wife because of all those boys, and then you get your one little girl who
That's
I
right.
know has daddy wrapped around her finger.
That's why I was running a little late this morning. I'm not going to lie.
I told you.
She did say, she goes, I bet somebody didn't want dad to leave this morning.
Daddy with me just once. So she's putting puzzles together. Just one. I'm like, I got to go to work. Please.
I don't. You know what? If you're late because of that, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It is so worth it. Time, can you believe how quickly? I mean.
Yes, my oldest starts college this fall, so it. She's,
whoa.
She's
really?
Kind of
yeah,
a.
Yeah, he does.
She's kind of a second, a do-over, and so I do cherish her time a little more than I wish I would have with my boys. But
I know we're pushing the clock, but the one thing that. Another thing. I mean, I admire you and your wife so much. It's not even funny, but you guys have been foster parents for years.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people don't understand what it means to be a foster parent, what it's like. I mean, that's how you got your little girl.
That's so. Right. So yeah, we've had, I think right now we're on our 26th or 27th foster child we've had with us. He's been with us for over a year now. But yeah, so my wife, it's always just been a calling of hers, in her heart to do. And so, yeah, we open our house to kids in bad situations. And so we bring them in and, you know, give them some stability. it means a lot to them. You know, they know they can go get some food or have a warm bed. And
have a warm bed.
You know, that means a lot. So, and my wife, God love her, she supports the parents as well, you know, stays in touch with a lot of them. So, it's definitely a calling. Why'd you guys have to bring this up?
I know.
But,
it's important. But it is. We it need is foster important. Parents. And just to hear, and we know, you know, my brother and I were adopted, but we were adopted as an infant, so I didn't have to go through that whole foster program. But I there's a calling for that. We need foster parents, and if somebody is willing and able to open their homes as you have, please check into that. It is very important. But yeah, because we appreciate you. I mean, the children in our community need folks like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the teenagers is the toughest one. And we made a conscious decision. We didn't want to bring in foster children that were older than ours. Just the way that it, we just didn't want that kind of dynamic. So we've been staying with little ones. You know, once our little ones are grown up, we might look at more of the teenagers. But there is a great need for homes for teenagers, you know, for some stability in their environment.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you. We are looking forward to an awesome Ag Day here today. We appreciate all your contributions as usual. And
I appreciate being invited to be a part. It's exciting.
Just so just where agriculture is going right now. What a cool time. I know it's really tough for the farmers right now. But in the same token, there's some really cool stuff happening in agriculture.
Yeah. Yep. If we could get the economy side of it straightened around a little bit, and kick that door back open for we're really rolling well. We're poised to be efficient and be the world leader in food production for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Adam Shanks, Purdue Extension. You can listen to him and Melissa coming up on Ag Day. That starts at 9:30 here on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. In the meantime, coming up at the top of the hour here, Dr. Rhoda, Community Schools of Frankfort, will join us right here. Stick around.